Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Show powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone. Britt Doherty, Mickey Ryan with you. Masters weekend. That means we visit with Virgil Herring multiple times. Virgil, what's up? How are you?
Just another beautiful Masters day. How about yourself?
I mean it. It's been a lot of fun. And here's we've seen a lot of great shots. We've seen a lot of shots like people like me throw out there on the golf course. Like John Rahm just hit one. I don't even think it's possible for pros to hit shots like this. But and then we had who was it? Zach Johnson on the tee that took a practice swing and hit his ball.
Yeah,
I mean, it's been a fun day.
Yeah, I mean, between Zach Johnson like foul tip and Mickelson on 17 hit like really 330 handicap shots in a row. And I'll tell you what happens. Is that the golf course, you only have 18 flat lies all day. Those are your tee shots. Every other shot that you hit all day comes from radically sloped lies. So you start to get tired. Your legs get tired. Even the most in-shape player is pretty tired coming down the home stretch, and you factor in Phil's 47 and got psoriatic arthritis. It doesn't take much for those kind of things to happen, and you start to see it later in the day. So Zach Johnson's event 13. Phil 17. John Rahm's got to be on, you know, I don't know what he's at. He's got to be on like the middle of the back nine. You start to see crazy shots later in the round because of all of the strenuous lies that they have to play for.
You know, it's interesting. We talked with you the other day, and you were kind of questioning whether Tiger, with the fusion and all the back surgeries, would be able to like be on the course, come off the course, come back on the course because of weather delays. And we saw him birdie 11, and then he knocks it stiff on 12, and he's got an easy birdie putt on 12, but they get called off the course. He comes back out and misses. So that kind of goes right in line with what you were just talking about a couple of days ago.
Well, and that's the thing, you know, is that as you get older, man, I'm telling you, I'm 45, and I've like, if I had to play 12 holes, and then go sit down for an hour and come back out again. But man, that wouldn't, it doesn't even sound like fun to me. So, I mean, and even if I'm playing the Masters, it doesn't sound like fun. So at the end of the day, that's just the way it is. So the younger guys have a huge advantage.
Yep.
In that regard.
Yeah.
Because they're easier to get back up and not be affected as much by, you know, being on the golf course and getting cool because they can warm back up pretty quickly. Where Tiger and Phil, I mean, they need like another large bucket and some Ben Gay, and then they're ready to go.
Jordan Spieth is a guy certainly that everybody watches here. A rough opening day, but he goes out today and goes 4 under, 1 under for the tournament, just kind of sneaking around there. Do you see him just kind of making a continued run or no?
Well. That's a loaded question full of variables that Jordan Spieth is not playing well.
Yeah.
His golf swing's really not in good shape. This golf course brings out magic in him like it did for, you know, Jack and late in his career, and it does occasionally from time to time when Phil's not on his game. They just rise to the occasion for no good reason. The golf course lends itself to creativity. So if you're not hitting it good, but you have a really good short game and you're a good putter, you can still feel like you can get around if you get hot. That's where Jordan Spieth is on this golf course. He's not hitting it that great, but if you can put together just 6 consecutive good holes and make 5 birdies, his short game is good enough that he could shoot 69 and really kind of slap it around by a tour player standards. So he's in it, but if he's 6 back right now of the leaders, and I don't really see that he can make up 3 shots a day on Molinari, Koepka, and those stalwart group of superstars, that's a lot to give up on the last 2 days.
That's a great point. There are a lot of big stars between him and the lead. Tiger Woods just birdied 14. He's on 15, the par 5. He is at 5 under par, 2 strokes off the lead. Are you surprised to see him this close, this deep?
No, because he's swinging at it almost as beautifully as he did in 2002, which in my opinion was the greatest golf swing that there's ever been.
Wow.
It's not as fast, obviously, and it's not as explosive, but it's like it's Mercedes-Benz precision. It is beautiful. The question is, how long can he do it? And if they have any weather delays, his body cannot do 27 or 29 holes in one day. He proved that in Los Angeles earlier this year. He just can't play that long. So if he has no real substantial time breaks where he can't play and he has to play a whole bunch of holes in one day, you're not going to want to have to deal with Tiger Woods' crowd if he's within 2 shots of 9 holes to play, because that is going to be one raucous scenario right there.
Right, and we all talk about that, but until you've been to the Masters and seen that and heard that all over the course, you really don't understand what that impact can be.
Yes, because there's just a level of energy, and it's history, too. You'd heard the history with Arnie, you heard history again with Jack in 86. Tiger creates those same kind of rumors, and I can't even imagine what it would be like if Tiger eagled 8 on Sunday to get within 1, or eagles 13 to get within 1. I mean, the place would be, it'd be electric, like almost like Ryder Cup electricity, which is in a whole other league of electricity at sports, but that's the kind of thing that had happened, and that energy affects everybody. Because the anticipation, the adrenaline rush, the excitement of the moment, and some people can handle it, and some people can't. So it'll be interesting. Koepka can handle it. I'm not sure about anybody else.
Virgil Herring with us at Virgil Tour Spin on Twitter. Virgil, I noticed several golfers with 8, 10, 12-foot putts and leaving the flag in. Why is that?
Well, with the new rule, they're allowed to leave it in. So what leaving the flag stick does in is it allows putts that are going, let's say they're going too fast, the flag, if it hits the flag, it is proven, they've done a bunch of tests, that it will knock more balls in than deflect out. So a ball that's going faster than you'd like, or if Augusta, the greens are so fast, a downhill putt, that's almost like having a backboard. And another subtle thing that most people aren't taking in consideration, which is why I really don't think it should be legal, is that it's an actual hack for distance control. Raising that flag up off the ground gives the brain a much clearer sense of how far it is from something. And it totally changes the game on your ability to lag putt. And that's why they're leaving it in.
So
especially the guys that aren't necessarily great putters, like Adam Scott leaves it in every time.
Yeah.
DeChambeau leaves it in every time because they realize how much better it makes them.
Sure. So will you start to see that more and more, do you think?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that it's going to start to become the standard, other than the traditionalists and the people that just don't want to be that guy. But at the end of the day, everybody knows that it provides an advantage, both in distance control, and it doesn't hurt putts that are going to go in. They're all going to go in. But it helps the ones that wouldn't go in stay in. And that's why I don't know how much longer it's actually going to be a rule, because I think they're going to reassess it. But at the end of the day, it definitely is a benefit, and I'd be doing it if I was them.
As we close in on the end of day 2 here, 7-under leads the tournament. I'll ask you, what did you think would win it before the tournament started? What do you think will win it now, stroke-wise?
Well, I thought it was going to rain all 3 of the last 3 days. Right. I was thinking like 11 in a playoff, 12 wins outright. That seems to be about right now.
Yeah.
Because the Sunday pins on the back 9 are all set up for, eagles and birdies. Maybe 13 wins, but I'd still feel really comfortable right now if they had to be 12. I'd walk off and let them all play it out. If I lose, that's fine.
Who do you think wins?
Man, it's really early to tell, because I really think tomorrow's going to be an interesting day with weather. But nevertheless, it is going. I think that it's going to come down to Tiger, Brooks Koepka, and Francesco Molinari, because Koepka and Molinari are the two best players of recent form, and I believe that Tiger. It's just, he's got to have that one more moment, and maybe this is it. To have that Jack moment. How many more majors he's got left, and how much longer can he stay healthy? I don't know. But I think it's going to be those 3, and I think Koepka pulls it out.
Can you imagine ratings if Tiger is in it down the stretch on Sunday?
I mean, I mean, just think about it. If it were, I mean, Koepka is one thing, and Molinari is another thing. But if it would be Rory, I know Rory's at like a one under par with, you know, he's got the par five to play. If Rory could get to like three or four, and they'd be within one or two shots of each other with nine holes to play, it would be like epic. Or Spieth. Between Spieth and Rory, there's the other two guys that kind of micro move the needle with Tiger. That get that concoction together, and it would be the greatest ratings in the history of golf.
Talking Golf with Virgil Herring coming up tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. What you got going?
We'll have the voice of golf, Peter Kessler, is going to join us for half the show. He's going to be live at the Masters. And then the women's amateur, the Augusta National Women's Amateur Champions swing coach is going to join me at the bottom of the hour to help us understand how good Jennifer Kupka is.
Awesome. Very good, Virgil. Always love chatting with you, man. Appreciate you.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, Virgil Herring, talking golf with Virgil Herring tomorrow morning at 7 a.m.